information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
And it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Fear is the foundation of most governments. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 147 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's October 30th, Halloween weekend, 2009, and we've got all your news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, secret societies, the media, and the new world next week, weaponized culture, and a swine flu national emergency. Pot tax, polls, plans, games in the smart grid, war horrors, police state, terror drills, 9/11 updates in the Daily Show, of course, bank failures, econo crash, and so very, very, very much more. It's October 30th, 2009, episode 147 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Satan is real, working in spirit. You can see him and hear him in this world every day. Satan is real, working with power. He can tempt you and lead you astray.
Shoot it right down and I'm
straight to hell. That's appropriate for Halloween weekend, my friends. That is, of course, the one and only Hank Williams III, with the title track from his 2006 record, Straight to Hell. And that's the way we're going to kick it off on this October 30th edition of MediaMonarchy.com. It's episode 147. And my name is James Evan Pilato, and I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and of the show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And of course, thanks to the fine list of affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com, kicking it out in Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1500 AM. Wyoming being slammed with snow right now, I believe, much like Colorado. Out on the East Coast, it's 1 p.m. right now, Eastern Time. And you can hear the show on the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net. And thanks to my neighbors from the north in Olympia, Washington, Free Radio Olympia on 98.5 FM, rebroadcasting Media Monarchy Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, frolympia.org. And of course, the snowy Colorado, 93.9 KBFR, Boulder, freeradio.com. Also, Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia, 87.9 FM. You can hit them up on stickam.com/groundzero. And my neighbors to the south, in Berkeley, California, 104.1 FM, berkeleyliberationradio.net. And thanks to my man Glenn from right here in Portland, Oregon, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, making a lot of great shows available at a lower bitrate, easier to download. You can even attach it to an email. And some folks still really need that, so providing a great service there, CascadiaPublicRadio.org. But that's not all, my friends. I am super excited to tell you we've picked up another affiliate. OneSkyRadio.com. That's OneSkyRadio.com. OneSkyRadio.com. Playing Media Monarchy Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. in Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. 90.7 FM. KWMD. So thanks to my man Wolfgang for making that happen. And much like pretty much all the other affiliates, they've come to me. It's amazing. I thank you. I love it. I appreciate it very much. Let me throw out a couple quick thank yous to some of the folks getting in touch with me. My man Mark sending very thoughtful words about the left-right paradigm. Not exactly taking me to task, but definitely saying it's not quite so simple as just left-right. There are more choices. So thanks to Mark. Thanks to my man Jamie out in Spain for digging MediaMonarchy.com, and he had the good idea of trying to add basically a countdown to when the show is going to be live, because of course Pacific time in Portland, Oregon means nothing to someone out in Spain. So I'm working on that, so that's a great idea, so thank you. So hopefully, you know, at the top of the page you would see, you know, 4 days, 12 hours till the next show, and it would count down and let you know that we're live. So working on that. And again, thanks to my man Jeffrey from DC 911 Truth and RockCreekFreePress.com, sending me interesting info in the strange world of employment. So like those folks, you can get in touch with me any number of ways. Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy. And the rest of these work the same kind of way. MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. There's so much to go over this week. There's no way I'm probably going to get through all of it. I did not do a B-side before this, episode 147. Can you believe it? Actually, silly me, wanted to get some sleep last night. What a fool. So we'll see how it goes, and I'll probably have to go quite quickly. So let's glance at Google News on this morning of Devil's Night, October 30th, 2009. Hillary ends her Pakistani visit with focus of Pakistani barbs. That from the New York Times. White House says 650,000 jobs were saved and or created by their stimuli. And just as I'm looking at the page, it refreshed right in front of me. 18 minutes ago from Reuters, we have bunker fuel spills in San Francisco Bay. The U.S. Coast Guard said on Friday it was investigating an early morning spill of bunker fuel from either the tanker Dubai Star or a barge alongside it in San Francisco Bay. That, unfortunately, is not all of the Coast Guard chaos going on around California, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. So if we turn to page one in our songbooks, MediaMonarchy.com. I just released late last night, and again, I always implore you, subscribe to the feed for the website. That way you won't miss a thing. I released a brand new special interview episode late last night. It's on the top of the page right now. Another interview with our good friend Albert Lanier from out in Hawaii, this time talking about secret societies in the media. So he was fresh back from the Hawaii International Film Festival, and he's actually, that's his main gig, he's a film critic, so it's a perfect fit for Media Monarchy. So in this interview, of course, you know, trying to keep it to an hour, of course it didn't happen, but it's about an hour and 40 minutes or so, but it's a fantastic, entertaining interview, and the topic being, the secret is out. So what secret is that, you may ask? Well, that would be that for the last several decades, many, many, many films and TV shows have covertly covered the topics of conspiracy, secret societies, and other malevolent media memes. And I bet if you take a quick look at your local movie marquee, you'll see that conspiracy media is very much a part of the cultural zeitgeist. So while it's impossible to go completely over this topic, we do our best to get behind the normal and break down the conspiratorial infrastructure, and even just look at just the tip of the iceberg. Just some of the movies that we discuss are The Good Shepherd, The Man Who Knew Too Much, National Treasure, 3 Days of the Condor, The Parallax View, Conspiracy Theory, Da Vinci Code, JFK, X-Files, Shutter Island, and many, many, many more. So, again, with a subject that's perfect for the Media Monarchy Kingdom, hopefully this new interview with Albert Lanier will help illuminate the infotainment that's up next on your Netflix queue or coming soon to a theater near you. So my friends, again, I implore you to check out the latest special interview episode from Media Monarchy, an interview with Albert Lanier on secret societies and the media. Now next, what has become a regular occurrence. The New World Next Week is a new video series that myself and my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com out in Japan, every week we record a less than 10-minute YouTube clip covering just a few of the big stories that have been popping in the days prior and in the days coming up. This is our fourth episode of The New World Next Week, posted up yesterday, October 29th, and essentially, the theme is that we encourage people to have their oh my God moment with the current American puppet, that being Barack Obama. The oh my God moment being the clean way to say what I've been saying on the show for many, many, many months is that I want you to have your whole shit moment about what we've gotten ourselves into. So what we cover is, of course, what we're going to get to in just a few minutes. Obama declares swine flu a national emergency. Then I share, actually, a personal story and experience from going to see Ani DiFranco last week here in Portland, Oregon, where, much to my surprise and dismay, she launches into her own little Yes We Can song and finishes it up by essentially saying something to the effect of, I love Barack Obama and I will do anything he says. And the fact that a fine independent progressive artist such as Ani DiFranco still believes this garbage is really disappointing, to say the very least. We wrap up that episode of New World next week by going over Obama's plummeting approval ratings, plans, games, and the grid. We basically discuss, hopefully, how the left is waking up to the Obama deception, and even throw out a little truth nugget about Michael Moore's agent. And that would be Rahm Emanuel's brother. It's all so cozy, isn't it? So that's the latest episode of The New World next week. I'm really excited about it. I really dig it. It's been amazing to watch the view counts. Pretty much within a week, each of the videos have clocked in well over 1,000 views. And it's great because it's something I can send to my mom. Because again, it's short, it's clean, and I think it gets straight to the point. So again, just another salvo fired in the information war that we are waging. So that segues quite nicely into covering the most recent episodes from James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Last week, he put up the entire audio from the new documentary, Fall of the Republic, The Presidency of Barack H. Obama. So that came out as episode 104 of Corbett Report. Again, just the full audio of the documentary that works great. Throw it on your iPod. You can listen to it when you're commuting. We also have a clip of James Corbett appearing on The Alex Jones Show last week, which I believe my man Steven in Oklahoma let me know. He had heard it live and hit me up right on Instant Messenger. And again, I'm signed in right now. You can hit me up there. Again, any number of ways to make contact. Many hands make light work. But the main bit, episode 105 from Corbett Report, weaponized culture. To what extent is our culture shaped by the culture creators? From the culture and the fashion, celebrity gossip, and TV programming. Well, yeah, why do you think they call it programming? There's no way to escape the steady stream of propaganda that assaults us on a daily basis. But forewarned is forearmed. And if we can become conscious of the techniques of manipulation, then perhaps we can dismantle the most subtle weapon of all. Episode 105, Weaponized Culture from Corbett Report, is fantastic. It's one of those kind of shows that makes me go, damn, that's what I want to do with Media Monarchy. So again, it's all about putting out great work that other folks can do. I believe Richard Grove said when we talked last month, it's all about putting out the information that hopefully makes someone else say, damn, thanks, dude. Now I don't have to do that. The last bit from Corbett Report is the latest entry in his other weekly video series. In addition to The New World next week is Economics 101. In this edition, he actually pulls some extracts from the aforementioned Fall of the Republic to go over the carbon trading scheme. And it is a scheme. Regardless of what you think about global warming or climate control, as I like to call it, do you really think paying your carbon indulgences to Al Gore and the private offshore banks with connections to literally the Rothschilds and Goldman Sachs and the Rockefellers, you really think that's going to help? So, like a lot of things dealing with the new environmental world order, when we bring up a lot of these things, we just basically just have to say, all right, you first. And here we are. Again, this was the first thing, the main thing that we covered on the most recent episode of The New World next week. Again, and that's always going to be available on youtube.com/Corbett Report. Obama declares swine flu a national emergency, which, as I add, before we get into the heart of the article from the Associated Press, which, like other quote-unquote national emergencies, is going to let vague directives kick in and be used in broad and sweeping ways, checkpoints, curfews, forced vaccinations, and God knows what else. So, from the Associated Press. President Barack Obama declared the swine flu outbreak a national emergency and empowered his health secretary to suspend federal requirements and speed treatment for thousands of infected people. The declaration that Obama signed late last Friday night. Authorized Health and Human Services Secretary and Bilderberger attendee Kathleen Sebelius to bypass federal rules so health officials can respond more quickly to the outbreak, which has killed more than 1,000 people in the United States. The goal is to remove bureaucratic roadblocks and make it easier for sick people to seek treatment and medical providers to provide it immediately. That could mean fewer hurdles involving Medicare, Medicaid, or health privacy regulations. Quote, as a nation, we have prepared at all levels of government, and as individuals and communities, taking unprecedented steps to counter the emerging pandemic, end quote, Obama wrote in the declaration, which the White House announced early Saturday morning. So a couple things I'll note there. It doesn't seem like something you sign late Friday night and announce Saturday morning. That doesn't sound like you want a whole lot of people to know about this. Doesn't seem timed well for the news cycle, but maybe that's just me. One of the other things, and I can't recall what article it was, and I'm not sure if it's linked up in this swine flu national emergency posting, which again does contain tons of other supplemental, essential, contextual links for you to do your own research. But we've got more from the Washington Post and CNN and Political Ticker and Bloomberg and on and on and on. So before we continue down the dirty hole of swine flu national emergency, let's catch a quick clip from MSNBC.
The president now declaring the H1N1 outbreak a national emergency. The White House says the president signed this proclamation last night. It will allow medical officials to bypass certain federal requirements. Some officials describe this move as being similar to a declaration ahead of a hurricane making landfall, but certainly a heads up on the White House's front on this. For more on the president's H1N1 emergency declaration, we're going to MSNBC's Mike Vaccaro live at the White House. So can you put this in perspective for us? You know, we hear these declarations before a hurricane makes landfall, right. There are national emergencies. It waives certain federal requirements. How right. Does this work in a health situation like this?
Well, it's relatively rare for this to be declared in a health situation. We know this much because last April, when the H1N1 virus first came to the fore of public consciousness, a similar step happened. Federal officials were quick to point out that there's no reason for this to make anybody panic. Mm-hmm. This is simply something that we're doing in terms of preparation. A lot of it has to do with logistics. Of course, it all happens in the context of a slow delivery of the H1N1 virus. Expectations were raised high. Everybody thought there would be more doses. You've been talking about it all morning, Alex, and now they're talking about November. The government thus far has blamed that on the manufacturers. Let me read you a little bit from the proclamation here that President Obama signed last night, incidentally. It was just made public this morning. The president says, as a nation, we've prepared at all levels of government. Then he goes on, nevertheless, the 2009 H1N1 pandemic continues to evolve. The rates of illness continue to rise rapidly within many communities across the nation, and the potential exists for the pandemic to overburden healthcare resources in some localities. Thus, in recognition of the continuing progression of the pandemic and in further preparation as a nation, we're taking additional steps to facilitate our response. And he goes on later to reiterate that this illness may overburden healthcare resources. We've already seen lines. A lot of that has to do with the shortage and the shortfall of the vaccine, which they, again, they had expected to see more of at this point in the process.
Right. Okay. And of course, the White House has no control at this point over the development of that vaccine. That is something that scientists and medical officials certainly do. And apparently for many, that can't get out there fast enough. Okay. Mike Vaccaro, thank you very much for the update on the breaking news from the White House. After the latest on the government's response to the H1N1 outbreak, you can all log on to flu.gov.
I don't know if we'll be logging on to flu.gov. Something to mention in conjunction with all of this is that Obama is no stranger to signing national emergency declarations. If you recall, on September 10th of this year, Obama reauthorized Bush's 9/11 national emergency. That's right, we're still under the 9/11 national emergency that Bush initially signed, I believe, September 14th, 2001. So again, all these things that we're still doing, that we're still following, that we haven't changed a single bit, are all still spilling out from the same erroneous lies. Regardless of what you may think about the events of 9/11, we know factually that the wars were based on lies. Now, why were troops amassing near Afghanistan before 9/11? Oh, gee, it's probably just a coincidence. But essentially, they set these things down, they sign them, they set it all up, then they announce it to you, essentially giving them free hand to do whatever they want to do later. And whenever someone may complain, we go, oh, no, we already preemptively passed a law for that. I can't remember the article I saw, but essentially compared this swine flu national emergency announcement with something that happened. Jesus, what is it? The 71st anniversary of Orson Welles' seminal War of the Worlds broadcast, which I believe happened on October 30th. Just a thought. Let's hit the ton of national emergency updates that, again, we're not going to get into all of this, but it's all available for you on MediaMonarchy.com. From NaturalNews.com, Obama declares national emergency over swine flu, but why? More from FarmWars.info, InfoWars, Reuters, again Natural News, noting that this emergency declaration could invoke a FEMA response to the pandemic. LouRockwell.com on another government emergency. Swine flu scam reaches new heights with Obama's emergency declaration. That's from Paul Joseph Watson. Swine flu emergency! Exclamation point. What does that mean? That's from WorldNet Daily. And then from /. Mandatory H1N1 vaccine for New York health workers suspended. Canadians wary of swine flu vaccine. That's from the AFP. More than half of Chinese don't want the swine flu shot. That's according to a poll. That's from TerraDaily.com. Federal Computer Week covers the flu pandemic could overwhelm internet capacity. The GAO warns. And we're going to return to that thought in just a few minutes. Now, by way of Fox News, they were noting that the first daughters hadn't vaccinated against the swine flu. And we also have posted up one of the latest videos from Ron Paul and CampaignForLiberty.com, among other things, questioning why the Obama kids hadn't been vaccinated. And this was something that I mentioned in our recent New World Next Week episode. So after all that, I did a little homework, and apparently Sasha and Malia have taken their squalene vaccines. Not sure where they did it. I don't know if it was a photo op or if anyone knows anything about it. It's a fascinating thing. But there's even more updates. Smashing Pumpkins' Billy Corgan on the swine flu propaganda. He runs a blog and a website on everythingfromheretothere.com. I'd never seen the site before, but even just looking at this article about the swine flu propaganda, all his links, all his articles, essentially make it look like he's become a vaccine truther. And again, as we've noted for the last several weeks, I think thanks to 9/11 Truth, a lot of other truth activists have popped up. So whether it's money truth or health truth or cyber truth, welcome aboard, Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins. So again, that's available on everythingfromheretothere.com. Obama launches deceptive swine flu propaganda blitz, again from InfoWars. Possible deaths from H1N1 vaccine reported in Sweden. That's from digitaljournal.com. Irish boy rushed to hospital after the swine flu jab. That's from the Belfast Telegraph. An interesting video by way of Dot Connector UK. Blunt needles for the swine flu vaccine. The original article is in Dutch, and the original is linked up for you, but a quick translation from Dot Connector UK, Dateline Amsterdam. The needles used to vaccinate people against swine flu are blunt, says family doctor Jan Takken in the online version of Medical Contact. Quote, when you inject a patient, it gives a nasty, abrasive feeling, end quote, according to Takken in the professional journal. At the National Family Doctors Association, a spokesperson confirms different needles are used than the regular ones used for the seasonal flu vaccine, saying, quote, those needles are specifically developed for this vaccine. And the question that Dot Connector poses is a speculative one, but it's worth noting nonetheless. You have to ask why they're using special needles for this vaccine. Could it be that they're already preloaded with nanochips? I'm not saying that they are. We're just positing that they could be. New York Governor Patterson hops on the national emergency bandwagon and declares a New York State emergency to deal with the swine flu. That's from New York Daily News. And as we start to spread out a little bit and just hit some of the other BioWars updates, national security, one microbe at a time. That's from Danger Room. More on the deaths of microbiologists, as we've noted from time to time. An alarmingly large number of folks who are microbiologists have been dying at a rather steady and large clip. And you have to ask why. Perhaps the previous headline from Danger Room sheds a little light on that. National security, one microbe at a time, and now the attempted murder of six Harvard microbiologists. Again, from Dot Connector UK. Breakthrough documentary called House of Numbers challenges conventional thinking on HIV and AIDS. This again from naturalnews.com, where they have doctors saying that, well, much like a lot of the other killer diseases, it kind of looks like they were man-made. Here we go. U.S. government report recommends blocking popular websites during flu pandemic outbreak. And what did we hear from the General Accounting Office just a few moments ago? That as the pandemic grows, it could threaten to overwhelm the internet. So they're talking about blocking popular websites, which they would mean to include things like Twitter. Because they're just going to be filled with fear and disinformation. As if those sites have the lock on fear and disinformation. So if you know that they're talking about blocking popular websites, what does that mean for less popular websites? I don't know, like MediaMonarchy.com? So I did find the update from the Associated Press, and it made the rounds. Obama kids got their shot last week. But again, there's no photos. I don't know the exact story about it. And again, I find it fascinating. We've got a video from the Truther Girls. Mass vaccinations begin in Quebec. It's all unfolding. So as long as I was adding all these swine flu and biowar updates to this original main posting from last Saturday, Obama declares swine flu a national emergency. As long as I was adding all the biowar updates, as long as I was there, I added all the Enviro health updates. So we've got, you may recall last week, the International Day of Climate Change, brought to you by the Rockefellers. More on that from Kenny's Sideshow. And it shouldn't surprise you in the slightest. you know, the major multinational, international corporations that cause most of the murder and mayhem and death and destruction in the world, you kind of notice they like to get behind things that make it look like they're green or they want to help you. So whether it's pharmaceutical and cosmetic companies acting like they care about cancer, or British Petroleum acting like they care about oil, we have the Rockefellers acting like they care about climate change, which, you know, I don't want to misspeak. They do care about climate control, but it's control over you. You're going to have to pay your carbon indulgences because you're dirty. Dirty, dirty humans. Even though we're just stuck using the garbage they've forced us to use because they've shelved most of the progressive inventions over the last decades. But I digress. Viral video heats up global warming debate. This comes from WCCO.com. And do you know what this is talking about? Well, let's pose the question. Is Obama poised to cede U.S. sovereignty? And we've got the clip, but let's hit and set the table with an article from CorbettReport.com. Death by Treaty, Lord Monckton on the Crisis of Copenhagen. We recently had a speech by someone I'd never heard of, a guy named Lord Monckton, talking about the treaty that is coming up next month, in December, rather, in Copenhagen. You want to talk about climate control? Let's learn a little more about this viral video heating up the global warming debate and ask the question, is Obama poised to cede U.S. sovereignty?
And what are we doing instead? At Copenhagen, this December, weeks away, a treaty will be signed. Your president will sign it. Most of the third world countries will sign it because they think they're going to get money out of it. Most of the left-wing regimes around the world, the European Union, will rubber stamp it. Virtually nobody won't sign it. I have read that treaty. And what it says is this. That a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries in satisfaction of what is called, coyly, a climate debt. Because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the lie. And third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it, now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he'll sign. And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resign from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom for the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever. And neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here, here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire, it is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty. A purposeless treaty, for there is no problem with the climate, and even if there were, economically speaking, there's nothing we can do about it. So I end by saying to you the words that Winston Churchill addressed to your president in the darkest hour before the dawn of freedom in the Second World War. He quoted from your great poet Longfellow, "Sail on, O ship of state. Sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity, with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate." Thank you.
That was Lord Monckton of Brenchley speaking about the upcoming Copenhagen Treaty. James Corbett has an article, Death by Treaty, as well as scoring a quick interview with Lord Monckton. He joins the Corbett Report to discuss the science refuting the man-made climate change hoax, the upcoming Copenhagen Treaty, and what its ratification would mean for national sovereignty. If you listen to that clip, you now know what it would mean. So again, even regardless of what you think about climate control, can we buy ourselves out of it with our carbon indulgences? What about the poison in the water? What about the genetically modified food? What about the war machine that, if CO2 is causing the Earth to heat up and not actually one of the main life-giving elements on the planet, you know, like oxygen, carbon dioxide, water, and the sun, you know, those kind of things. Don't you think the war machine has a little bit to pay up on that? But oh no, we've just kept on the same guys, kept on Robert Gates, brought in Killer McChrystal, more troops to Afghanistan, we aren't taking troops out of Iraq, we're killing civilians with drones in Pakistan, the war machine rolls on and ain't a damn thing changed. And you can't believe in it. So the sooner you have your old shit moment again, the sooner we can maybe, hopefully, get things back on track. So I'm sure there's going to be more to discuss on the crisis in Copenhagen coming very soon. But having said that, we need to move on. From toxtalk.blogspot.com, and this is a site I just started to follow, and this is from the folks who run the magazine Our Toxic Times, this having to do with something called MCS, multiple chemical sensitivity, asking the question, are people having reactions to the hand sanitizers, which are now everywhere? Even in my workplace, they've popped up. They're everywhere, around every corner, at every aisle. So do you think if you maybe kill every germ that ever may come in contact with you, you're never going to be able to fight it? It could make you even more sick. A few more notes on EnviroHealth. Little Mermaid girl dies at age 10. More on that from Press TV. Harry Reid supports the healthcare public option. There's a clip from Raw Replay. Study suggests insecticide causes lupus and arthritis. That's from PlanetSave.com. And by way of the Daily Mail, no men or women needed anymore. Artificial sperm and eggs created for the first time. And what goes along with that from the LA Times, South Korean cloning scientist convicted. And the last note is very interesting. I found it funny isn't the word, but from the Associated Press, getting enough sleep? They aren't in West Virginia. Apparently, according to the first national study ever done on sleep, or lack thereof, apparently, West Virginia is at the bottom of the list. So, I kind of laughed and joked when I first saw that article. I was like, oh, wow, I guess that kind of makes more sense for me, being from West Virginia, because I don't really sleep all that much. Unfortunately, the reality behind this is that a lot of the folks are overweight and unhealthy, and that does not make for a good night's sleep. Interestingly enough, the West Coast, of course, is very well rested. It's always an interesting thing, being an East Coast boy now on the West Coast for the last 4 years. Actually, 4 years next week, I believe. My girlfriend and I sometimes refer to ourselves and all the other East Coast folks as killer bees. We're coming out here with our aggro type A personality from the East Coast to the West Coast, where you guys are kind of puttering around, and we're going to come out and take over. But I digress. Let's shift gears a little bit, but again, staying on the health note, and again, the drum beats slowly louder, ladies and gentlemen, for the legalization and taxation of marijuana.
But we will not use our limited resources in the fight against the marijuana trade, against those people who are using it consistent with state law and to fight serious illnesses, such as cancer or other diseases.
Right now, 14 states have medical marijuana laws, a lot of others considering it. So this is a significant announcement.
What he is saying is we will not preempt state laws with federal power as we could. What that means is where medical marijuana laws are enforced, doctors will advertise, as they're doing in California, that they will give a prescription for medical use. Now, medical use can be marijuana to cure anxiety, to cure insomnia, all the rest. And you will have what you now have in California, where marijuana is essentially legalized. We have legalized gambling in this country over two generations. It used to be considered a sin and a crime. We, with no national debate and no decision moment, which did it, we have legalized prostitution, as anyone who opens a telephone book and looks under escort can tell you. And we may be doing, we're probably in the process now of legalizing marijuana.
Good idea.
Well, I think that overstates the case. I think that what Eric Holder did was to say, look, we have scarce prosecutorial resources. We're not going to go after people with glaucoma or cancer or whatever on medical marijuana. They're still going with a vengeance, really, against the Mexican drug cartels. So I think there's a, you know, this is a kind of a mixed bag. I think we won't see a full legalization of marijuana until somebody figures out that if you tax it, maybe you can pay for health care.
Well, that might be what drives it.
80% of the revenue of the Mexican cartels is marijuana. If you really want to go after the Mexican cartels, and I'm not saying that's the only criterion for public policy, you'd legalize marijuana.
But we are seeing gradually the public more open to the idea of legalization. It was in the 20% throughout the 1990s, hit 30% around 2000. Now it's well above 40.
Yeah, I think all of us have either gone through cancer or family members in a terribly painful disease. I think you have a lot of sympathy. There's a lot of public sympathy for medical marijuana use. I think George hit on it, though. I mean, it is being prescribed for a whole range of issues. Like, if you have pain from Botox injections, you can get medical marijuana. That means a lot of people in California must be token up, okay? Because that's all. No, I'm just teasing. But, you know, look, I just have one question. Does this mean brownies are going to be for sale at the CVS? Because that's always been a product that's been missing in those.
In Los Angeles, I think it may be. That's right.
Now, I'm not sure if my take on them making silly jokes about it actually helps or just further ridicules all the stereotypes. So that was on the roundtable by way of ABC News with Mr. George Stephanopoulos. And what they are discussing is what we hit last week, and that was the feds to issue new medical marijuana policy, which essentially meant, to recap for you, pot-smoking patients or their sanctioned suppliers should not be targeted for federal prosecution in states that allow medical marijuana. And as I've said time and time again, with the new puppet, none of that crap you thought he was going to do was going to happen, but we might be able to get high as the poo-poo hits the oscillator. which now, of course, segues quite well into all the latest Obamasiah updates, polls, plans, games, and the grid. First, by way of Politico.com, fascinating. This should really hit you hard again, folks who are still drinking the Obama Kool-Aid. From Politico, Obama already ties Bush on golf games played while in office. Remember, it was always so easy to make fun of W while he posed on his Texas Crawford ranch. And here we have Obama in less than 9 months playing more golf games than Bush in, I believe, 2 years. From the Deutsche Press Agency, White House issues Obama family photos taken by Annie Leibovitz, which again, as I noted on the New World Next Week, further adds this new Camelot to the Obamas, the celebrities. However, Obama sees worst poll rating drop in 50 years. This from the Telegraph. The decline in Obama's popularity just since July has been the steepest of any president at the same stage of his first term in more than 50 years. And so on the one hand, that's a good thing. That means folks are seeing through the garbage, hopefully realizing that they got taken in by the slickest Madison Avenue brand campaign we've ever seen on the political stage. However, as we noted many, many times under their previous puppet, that cornered and scared rats are the most dangerous. And as we noted from Biden and Powell and Albright and all those folks right around inauguration, saying all those things about, they're going to test him. Something's going to happen. And it's not going to look good. Biden says, that's why we need to rush through everything so quickly. We need you guys with us. It's not going to look good. It's going to look like the wheels are coming off. But we need you to be behind us for every dastardly move that we make. And again, they're doing it all under left cover. And people are still falling for it. They're still falling for it, I think, for the most part, because the Super Bowl's over. The Oscars are over. The World Series is over. In the political sense. You saw all the people last fall hop on the bandwagon and act like, you know, they actually knew or gave a shit about anything that was going on. They were just on board because they want to be with the winner. And then as soon as the game's over, they're back to their own things. So they're not paying attention to all the things that are going on, you know, just with, you know, tens of thousands of more troops into the meat grinder, more warrantless wiretapping, more secrecy, more lobbyists, more taxes, more lies. The agenda rolls forward. From opposingviews.com, article from Nat Hentoff, Obama every bit as bad as Bush and Cheney on the Patriot Act. Again, they love it. He keeps reauthorizing it. He keeps fighting Bush's battles. They've just taken him over. PoliticsDaily.com asked the question, why is Dick Cheney helping Obama? And that would be, again, Darth Cheney likes to pop up every now and then and act like he's against what Obama's doing. And it rallies the sheep and helps Obama's ratings kind of bubble up a little bit. Because, again, it's a pretty easy choice. When you look at Cheney or Obama, you're going to go with Obama. By way of Raw Replay, and God, I've really started to notice, you know, I love the site, because they'll keep videos that maybe disappear on YouTube due to, you know, copyright reasons and things like that. I love Raw Replay. I love Raw Story. They're a little heavy on the clips from Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann. You know those folks who used to viciously and effectively attack the previous puppet? Yeah, not so much anymore, because their General Electric Microsoft National Broadcasting Corporation left Gatekeeper Foundation funded phonies. There's a long video of Olbermann and Maddow defending their meetings with Obama. Or meeting, just one meeting. I'm sorry. This ties into the whole phony WWF fake wrestling garbage of Fox News versus the White House. And then Fox News mentioned how Maddow and Obama, or rather Olbermann, met with Obama. and it's all a bunch of garbage. And you can bet your ass that they would have been raising a stink if Shepard Smith or whoever the talking heads on Fox are, if they had private meetings with Bush. But here we have Obama, or rather Olbermann and Maddow. I see all the names conflate. It doesn't make a difference. I'm going to move on. Dems waking up with Obama hangover in state and local elections. That's from the Los Angeles Times. Democrats return fire on Black Panthers case. This is an interesting story from MaineJustice.com. The Washington Times has an interesting article called Obama's New World Order. Remember, New World Order used to be code for you're a kook, you believe in black helicopters. And now it's in your face. It didn't exist, but now it does, and it's good. Obama's New World Order. Public option likely to be managed by private insurance company. That's from Raw Story. That, again, if the left would pay attention, would be things that, you know, you probably wouldn't like that. Obama set to unveil too big to fail plans. That's from Capitol Hill Blue. And Obama to detail stimulus spending on the so-called smart grid. Smart grid being the code for the thing that will let the state control your thermostat. And that's just the least of it. I believe episode 103 from Corbett Report, The Smart Grid Cometh, breaks down the quote-unquote smart grid pretty well. And you can essentially call it the control grid, the global information grid. It's all going to be connected. We've got more on the Copenhagen crisis. So an article from WorldNet Daily coming this December, World Government. And that's really essentially what it is. In the G20, they're talking about a one world currency. The upcoming treaty in Copenhagen, they're talking about international climate police. It is a world government. Now, does that mean the blue helmets are going to be rolling down my street tomorrow? No, probably not. It's probably not going to roll out that way. It's going to be the slow boiling of the frog. On more bad news from truthtellers.org, Obama signs hate crimes bill. More on that from the Deutsche Press Agency. Obama signs law extending hate crimes to sexual orientation and gender. And again, all these bills that kind of sound good on the surface. And yeah, hate, that's bad. There are pretty much laws against these things anyway. They're just making bigger, more vague declarations that can pretty much be used in any way they want. Like the Patriot Act. All crime is terror, and vice versa. Perhaps your dissent might be looked at as hate crimes. Oh, but that's not all, folks. Obama signs law giving the DOD authority to exempt photos from FOIA. So, fortunately, ACLU and Amnesty International, at least some of the folks, aren't being hoodwinked by our left cover president. President signs law giving Defense Department authority to exempt photos from Freedom of Information Act. ACLU renews calls for Secretary Gates not to block release of torture photos. That's what this breaks down to. And we'll get to his little photo op. Watching our dead brothers and sisters come back from wars based on lies. And I'm not denigrating them or their service. Or what they believe they were doing. All war is based on deception. So having said all that, we'll throw out one quick mention as we wrap up these Obamasiah updates, polls, plans, games, and the grid. Meanwhile, speculation mounts over a Ron Paul 2012 presidential bid. He's got speeches and events coming up very soon, and you have places, I believe, like CNN and others saying, is he about to announce a 2012 bid? How all that would play into our new world order, I have no idea. Like, I just referenced the UN blue helmets. My fear of all of this is that we will see some type of shattered union scenario. If you've never checked out that trailer for a video game, and we'll have a little bit more on video games in just a minute. Shattered Union. Time flies when you're having fun, right, my friends? We're already now into hour number two of episode 147 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's Devil's Night. Even though I reject that. It's October 30th, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and show MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Coming to you, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FrOlympia.org, BoulderFreeRadio.com, StickAM.com/GroundZero, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, and again, the great new announcement of our newest affiliate out in Alaska, 90.7 FM KWMD. And you can hit them up on oneskyradio.com, O-N-E-S-K-Y radio, oneskyradio.com. And again, thanks to KWMD and Wolfgang for rebroadcasting Media Monarchy. Whew. Okay, here we go. We're back into it. It's a new posting, but as I found with a lot of what we're going to go over and have gone over in this episode, and probably the B-side to come, all these stories swirl around each other. They're all so interconnected. And on several of these postings, some of the same stories kind of crop up and pop up, because I find myself going, well, should I file this under Obamasiah, or should I file this under War Whores? And that's where we are now. The latest posting with the topic of war whores. Left in charge of the right wars. Obama witnesses return of Afghanistan war dead. That's from the Los Angeles Times. And that's a great little photo op. From Russia Today, talking to Larry Wilkerson, I believe, where he notes that Afghanistan looks increasingly like Vietnam for us, U.S. Raw Story has the report that 40,000 more troops for Afghanistan, quote, remains on the table. Morale dips for American Marines in Afghanistan. That's from the Times Online. And we've seen an unfortunate ratcheting up of the murder and mayhem and the death and destruction in the wars of aggression that were based on lies, that are killing people left and right, black and white, young and old, civilians and soldiers. Helicopter crash kills 14 Americans in Afghanistan.
11 U.S. soldiers and 3 U.S. civilians have been killed in 2 helicopter crashes in Afghanistan. 4 were killed when 2 helicopters collided in the south of the country. In a separate crash in western Baghdad province, 7 soldiers and 3 civilians were killed. Colonel Wayne Shanks, a NATO spokesman.
We had 2 separate helicopter incidents today. One in southern Afghanistan, where we believe we had 2 helicopters collide with each other. And in that particular incident, we had 4 U.S. service members that were killed and 2 others were injured. In a separate incident in western Afghanistan, we had 1 helicopter crash and we had 7 U.S. service members, 3 U.S. civilians, killed in that crash, and we also had 14 Afghan service members and another 11 U.S. service members were injured in that particular one.
Neither crash was believed to have been caused by hostile fire, but no further information was available.
Helicopter crash kills 14 Americans in Afghanistan. That's from InfoWars. Deadly day in Afghanistan. 3 copters crash, 14 U.S. lives lost. That's from Danger Room. And again, more from The Guardian. We've also got, from the LA Times, multiple bombings kill 8 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Civilians killed in Afghan blast. That's from the BBC. And what this all adds up to is essentially October becoming the new deadliest month ever for the U.S. in Afghanistan. I believe breaking the record from, like July. However, the U.S. tested 2 Afghan scenarios in some war games. That's from the Washington Post, the CIA's favorite newspaper, as some like to refer to it as. Obama to meet with Joint Chiefs on Afghanistan. That's from CNN. However, Press TV takes it like Obama holds crisis meeting on Afghanistan, and that's probably quicker to the heart of the matter. And as if all of that wasn't enough, late last night, I saw again by way of Press TV out of Iran, strong quake rattles Afghanistan and Pakistan, I believe it was a 6.1. We also have more great bills that Obama's signing the defense policy bill. That's more rhetoric. However, he also signed the new military budget bill. Again, more money for the international wars of aggression based on lies by that previous puppet. But yet, it all still goes on. If you're really for climate, in the war machine. And again, Obama signs law blocking release of torture photos, that time from Raw Story. Again, another video from Raw Replay. Mentally ill soldier plus suicide equals not recognized by Obama. U.S. military suffers another non-combat loss in Iraq. That's again from Press TV. Something we mentioned that was on Google News. Oh, and it's the top of Google News right now. So when I saw it late last night, posted it up. 9 missing after Coast Guard jet hits helicopter in California. But 13 minutes ago from the Associated Press, California searchers scour for survivors of midair crash. Dateline San Diego, investigators are trying to determine why a Coast Guard airplane on a nighttime search for a boater collided with one of 4 Marine Corps helicopters flying in formation to a military training island off Southern California. I believe we're going to touch on some of the military training going on in California, so I will speculate right here. Does this tie in with the terror drills and war games going on in California last weekend and currently? Blackwater and other contractors met at a peace conference. Again from Raw Story, but from the Huffington Post, Hillary's Blackwater connection. Oh, shock of shocks. I'm so surprised. U.S. must plan for nuke wars. That is from DODBuzz.com. And again, it's always good to subscribe and check out essentially the other guy's media. And so when you go to places like Danger Room or DODBuzz or any of those sites, you know, they never met a black op they didn't like. U.S. must plan for nuke wars. We'll make 2 good news notes, relatively, before we close out the War Horse posting with a nice little bit of recruitment from Faux News. Sikh gets rare permission to wear turban and beard in the U.S. Army. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And the other note from Yahoo News, Bush family political heir is shipping off to war. That would be George P. Bush, I believe the son of Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, I believe, is married to an Hispanic woman. So George P. Bush is half Hispanic, half Bush. And they call him the Great Hope. He is now, appropriately enough, 33 years old. He will be eligible to run for the highest office in the land before very long. But right now, he's shipping off to war, which, yes, you gotta hand it to him. It's not something his uncle did. And the last note here on this War Horse posting, left in charge of the right wars, Fox News recruiting for the U.S. military.
On the job hunt now, a Fox News exclusive. The Army's Chief of Staff, General George Casey, is announcing new employment opportunities with the Department of Defense. And in some cases, you don't even have to endure basic training. We are talking about civilian jobs here. Jamie Colby is live at an Army recruiting center in Manhattan. So what kinds of civilians is the Army looking for, Jamie?
Well, let me first address that basic training, John. They did threaten here to make me down and give them 50, you know, but fortunately, I didn't have to. And you don't have to, actually, to be a civilian. There are a number of jobs. John, can you imagine a corporation that offers 550 different job classifications? Just about everything is represented, supporting our troops. I can't imagine anything else with more honor. There are great benefits, too. I'll get to that in a second. 325,000 Americans already serving as civilians in the Army at 67 countries worldwide. If you love travel, this is definitely for you. And we had an exclusive sit-down with the Army Chief of Staff, General Casey, who told us there's one category they're particularly interested in. Take a listen.
What is the skill set that you think is the most in need right now?
I would say probably contracting. I think you know that with the deployments, our contracting requirements have gone way up.
And they have, John, you know about all the work that's going on all around the world that the Army takes part in, but they're also looking for crime scene investigators, firefighters, child care workers, nurses, many, many other classifications. And let me give you a website there that you can go to, civilians. It's cpol.army.mil, and there are, as I said, more than 550 different jobs with great benefits.
Oh, my God. That would almost be effective, you know, of course, if it weren't so ham-fisted and ridiculous. But again, as the fake economy collapses, the only jobs left will be a snitch for the state. I've made repeated references. If you've never seen Soylent Green, in a decimated future, we're all herded into compact cities, begging for food, and the only jobs are being a corrupt Stasi snitch for the state. However, moving on to the next posting, Police State International, Political Activism as Domestic Extremism. The first article comes by way of The Guardian. Police in £9 million scheme to log domestic extremists. Thousands of activists monitored on network of overlapping databases. UK police are gathering the personal details of thousands of activists who attend political meetings and protests and storing their data on a network of nationwide intel databases. The hidden apparatus has been constructed to monitor quote-unquote domestic extremists, The Guardian can reveal in the first of a three-day series into the policing of protests. Detailed info about the political activities of campaigners is being stored on a number of overlapping IT systems, even if they have not committed a crime. Now, there's an interesting little story here, a little audio bit that goes along with this by way of The Guardian, where a guy named Mark Thomas reacts to finding out that his name is being stored as a domestic extremist.
I feel extremely flattered. And as I said in the article, I'm actually thinking of using it as a quote, using the Metropolitan Police definition of someone who might instigate disorder on a, I think that would look great on a poster underneath the sort of obligatory Time Out review and the kind of four stars as Gossman. It would just have instigates disorder, the Met Police. I mean, on one hand, it's very funny, you know, because we sort of know that it goes on and it's very flattering and you think they are sort of a little bit, you know, the presentation of it, the very word domestic extremist is a really interesting two words, a really interesting two words, because at once it redefines how we see protest. But it also has immense comic, you know, possibilities, because the idea, how very British a domestic extremist, it sounds very homely. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like sort of anarchists with slippers, sort of fuck the state and pass the jam kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So I think it has got, the very word, once is silly, but it's also interesting because what it does is it means that actually the protesters are now viewed as domestic extremists. And the very word extremist therefore means they are not like us, they are a threat.
And that's why several months ago, I stopped calling these updates Police State USA and calling it Police State International, because whether it's the new financial world order or the encroaching police state, you'll see that all of the main nations all move on the same things at the same time. It's homegrown terrorism here, homegrown errorism, as I've coined, domestic extremism. If you dissent, you are a terrorist. That is what they're saying. They're not implying it. They're not dancing around it. They're not beating around the bush. They're not hinting at it. You are a terrorist. More on that note, UK council bans parents from play areas. That's right. If you can't show your papers, you're not allowed into the playground. More from mailonsunday.co.uk. The raid that rocked the Met. That would be the Metropolitan Police Office. Why a gun and drugs op on 6,717 safety deposit boxes could cost UK taxpayers a fortune. Much as we see with a lot of these situations, we throw tons of money at something for not really great results. However, that's if you're looking at it just on the surface level. So many of these things are done for the psychological effect. Two men are charged by U.S. with plotting terrorism attack. This by way of the Washington Post, and there have been quite the slew of busts lately. It's kind of hard to keep up, and I don't know if these are the guys in New York that were going to do something, or wait, are these the guys in Colorado that were going to something, or it doesn't matter, because in a week we'll find out that there were FBI informants giving them money and weapons and videotaping them saying ridiculous things, and we'll find out that they will probably be of subnormal intelligence level and poor. So, as we just mentioned, that was on the top of Google News All, which now it's been replaced. Because the stimulus saved 650,000 jobs? We're not impressed. But I digress. Pacific Horizon. That's the name of the terror drills and war games going on a California beach. This from the Big Brother Corporation. With 15 miles of pristine, undeveloped beachfront property in Southern California, it's difficult to imagine wanting to live anywhere else. But for many of the Marines at Camp Pendleton, one place beckons above all others. Afghanistan, says Lance Corporal Alejandra Esqueda, when asked where she would like to be deployed next, saying, quote, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm hopefully going to Afghanistan to finish what we've got to do there. I've already been to Iraq. Afghanistan is the new place to be. We could do a whole show on the ridiculous foolishness of that one statement, but we will not. Lance Corporal Esqueda is one of hundreds of Marines on the beach preparing for a mass training exercise dubbed Pacific Horizon. As the troops set up tents and fill sandbags in the hills above the Pacific Ocean and the traffic-clogged Highway 5, many echoed Lance Corporal Esqueda's view, saying they wouldn't be Marines if they didn't want to be in the middle of action based on lies. Oh, wait, it didn't say that last part. I added that. So, again, I speculate, is the war games and drills going on, in this case, Pacific Horizon, does that have anything to do with the military Coast Guard helicopter crashes that happened late last night? We shall see, and we will learn more about California and all the other terror drills going on in just a few minutes. NYPD to shake up the streets with a sound siren device. That's from MSNBC, and again, we've seen these devices before. Again, the UK, kind of ahead of the game in the police state, the land of George Orwell, gets it right, gets it first. Houston police begin creative crackdown, and that would be dressing up like homeless people or plainclothes people. You know, just to make sure you're having a crime-free day. Four Utah teens cited for McDonald's drive-thru rap. I believe these four teenagers were arrested for essentially, I think, imitating some popular YouTube video. Again, these are things that happen in a police state. And from WVEC.com, checkpoints aimed at stopping terrorist threat. However, let's break it down a little better from Kurt Nimmo. TSA, FBI, and the cops turned Virginia Bridge into a constitution-free zone. Gestapo teams, originally confined to airports and then rail stations after 9/11, are increasingly engaged in mission creep. In Virginia Beach this week, and this was posted up October 28th on Wednesday, in Virginia Beach this week, drivers on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel are witnessing the police state in action. Armed TSA Viper teams with bomb-sniffing dogs are checking in determined fashion for Al-Qaeda. Or so they tell the public. Quote, a Viper operation began early Tuesday and lasted through the afternoon, reported WVEC. As many as 60 people with the TSA, the Tunnel Police, the Coast Guard, NCIS, FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, Norfolk Police, and Virginia Police are part of the security checkpoint that's occurring on both ends of the span. Remember, it was all just supposed to be for terror. We're only listening to the terrorist phone calls. If you haven't done anything wrong, well, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. We know that's a lie. We know that from the very beginning, pre-9/11, the Patriot Act, which was already written and sitting on the shelf, they were just waiting for their catalyzing catastrophic event to dust it off and shove it down our throats. Much like the I-9/11 cyber terror Patriot Act is sitting on the shelf, waiting for the catalyzing hack attack and punch in the Facebook. Shove that down our throats. It's always been meant for us. So now, again, as we just covered, whether it's the UK or whether it's in Virginia, if you dissent, if you don't like it, you're a terrorist. Let's now get more into the terror drills and war games going on from Israel to Arizona. And now we're back in California. This was posted up last Sunday, October 25th, so most of this refers to events that took place last weekend. Again, if you can always believe the start and end points of these terror drills. From the Contra Costa Times, heavily armed law enforcement teams scattered across Bay Area for Urban Shield 09. Armed officers in full battle gear will be scattered throughout the Bay Area. Again, this was last weekend, rescuing hostages, fighting bank robbers, and quelling terrorism, because again, all crime is terror, it's all conflated now. But they were at the Oakland Airport, Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, and the NASA Ames Research Center, and 22 other high-profile sites. There was the sound of gunfire and blasts, all a part of Urban Shield, one of the biggest domestic terrorism drills in the country. You can go to urbanshield.org for more on this garbage. The $1 million, yeah right, two-day event began last Saturday and tested the training of 27 crack teams from throughout the state, elsewhere in the country, and the world. 27 crack teams, or... Wait, 27. ABC News has 25 teams practice emergency response. Now, ABC probably just confused the number of teams with the number of scenarios. The 25 locations, remember, Oakland Airport, Lawrence Livermore, NASA Ames, and 22 others, that's 25. They probably just confused the scenarios with the number of teams. So, nothing to see here. Move along. Let's go down to Arizona. AZStarNet.com. Drills may delay travel into Fort Huachuca Wednesday. Of course, we have to note... Oh, wait. Well, we'll do that afterwards. Again, from azstarnet.com. Southern Arizona's largest military installation is testing its anti-terrorism measures on Wednesday. That would be the 28th. A drill that can make travel there more time-consuming. Fort Huachuca's force protection exercise may cause holdups for traffic entering the installation. An Army News release said, quote, visitors to the fort may experience some delays that day. Those entering the fort should be prepared to present identification and proof of insurance and vehicle registration. Fort Huachuca, about 75 miles southeast of Tucson, is home to the Army's Military Intelligence Training Center, which is probably why that the folks at Fort Huachuca are huge fans of MediaMonarchy.com, visiting several times a week. So, how you guys doing? How are your terror drills going? Are you desensitizing the American public to seeing armed military troops in their towns, violating posse comitatus? Are you having the good psychological effect? Are you fighting the net as an enemy weapon system? Are you subverting the Constitution that you took an oath to protect and defend? Now let's catch a bus in Orlando, Florida. From the Orlando Sentinel, TSA spot checks Greyhound bus terminal. And as you find a lot of these stories do, I've noted it many, many times, they start with a little humorous, personal, human interest angle. Bryce Williams wasn't expecting to walk through a metal detector or have his bag screened for explosives at the Greyhound bus terminal near downtown Orlando. But Williams and 689 other passengers went through tougher-than-normal security procedures last Thursday as part of a random check coordinated by the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. The idea is to keep off-guard terrorists and others who mean harm, thereby improving safety for passengers and workers. There was no specific threat to the bus station on John Young Parkway south of Colonial Drive. Although the TSA is best known for its agents at airports, the agency's visible intermodal prevention and response, oh, that's right, it's Viper again. So running checkpoints in Virginia and running checkpoints in Orlando, Viper teams stage periodic operations at bus and train stations, ports, and other transportation centers. They began work in December 2006. Last Thursday's day-long event was the first at a Greyhound station in Florida, said John Daly, TSA Security Director for the Orlando region of the North American Union. And then finally, on these terror drills and war games from Israel to Arizona, finally, we jet off to the quote-unquote Holy Land for some high-tech and hush-hush war games with everyone's favorite BFFs. U.S. Reel rehearse state-of-the-art air defense umbrella. This from the French agency press. A massive air defense drill underway in Israel will join Israeli and U.S. systems to create the world's most advanced anti-missile umbrella to protect the Jewish state. The defenseless Jewish state. Juniper Cobra 10. So this would probably be the 10th one of Juniper Cobra war games or exercises. Oh, it's the 5th. The 5th in a series of joint air defense drills between the Allies began this week and comes amid heightened tension between Israel and arch-foe Iran. Oh, they're arch-foes now. They've never helped fund each other's puppets and sold each other arms when they were trying to play some country off of some other country. No, it's their arch-foe. Some 1,000 or so U.S. soldiers taking part in the 2-week exercise combining Israeli and U.S. systems to, quote, create the world's most advanced air defense system to protect our citizens and homes from attack, said the commander of Israel's Air Defense Corps, Brigadier General Doron Gavish. U.S. Reel commanders refused to describe the scenarios they are simulating, but they said they would practice merging different anti-missile systems that defend simultaneously against long, medium, and short-range missiles. Whew. I feel safer already. Gosh, I'm sure glad all those guys are defending our freedoms. We also like to put on the record that whenever we see these international war games and terror drills, that sometimes they can provide the cover for false flag events. And if you don't know, a false flag event would be when you hit your own gang. When you dress up like somebody to attack someone so you can blame your enemy. It has been used throughout history to great effect. However, probably one of the greatest victories in 9/11 truth is that we have put false flag terrorism and inside job as part of the vernacular. So while we have these war games going on, again, that's why we pay attention to them. They make a great setting for confusion. So whether it's the Gulf of Tonkin, or the ridiculous scene we had last year with the speedboat, and you're going to explode, keep your eyes open and your ears alert to what's going on. And that segues quite nicely into our latest list of 9/11 updates, heroes, drills, the database, and rally redux. First up, by way of the Telegraph, New York's 9/11 hero police chief jailed. Former police chief out of New York, Bernard Carrick, who was hailed as a hero after the 9/11 attacks, has been jailed after a federal judge revoked his bail ahead of a corruption trial. He's become the first police chief in the city's history to be thrown in jail, and perhaps hopefully not the last. In a hearing in White Plains, New York, Judge Stephen Robinson said he was revoking the $500,000 bail granted to Bernard Carrick, 54, who led the police under the previous administration of then-Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. Carrick abused confidential evidence in the case. Robert Haddad, spokesman for the district attorney's office, said the government made a motion to revoke his bail. After a 3.5-hour hearing, the judge agreed to revoke the bail in order for him to be sent to jail. Carrick faces 142 years in jail and fines of almost $5 million if convicted on all of the charges. Carrick is accused of secretly accepting more than $250,000 in renovations to his apartment from a construction firm with suspected mafia ties while he was the Corrections Department commissioner under Giuliani, which, as we know, has his own mob ties. So I believe some of this ties in with that apartment, some little secret love nest that Giuliani used. Mr. 9/11. Further down the list, a new article from Kevin Ryan, ex-Underwriters Laboratory scientist, who when he came out and called bullshit on UL and NIST saying things that weren't true about the steal in the World Trade Center towers, yeah, he was fired. So now he finds himself being a truther. His latest article, Top 10 Connections Between NIST and Nanothermite. Now again, my friends, we essentially don't worship at the Church of Controlled Demolition in the world of 9/11 truth. It is important, but it's not the most important. At least I don't believe there are far many other things that we could take to court. Essentially what this is that you've perhaps heard of the work from folks like Stephen Jones and the work that they've done showing that there is evidence of thermite or nanothermite on some of the steel. And amazingly enough, some of the only places that this kind of high-grade nanothermite could actually come from is the very people who are investigating it. Surprise, surprise, NIST and nanothermite. Did the drills prevent Andrews Air Force Base from responding to 9/11? Again, that's from 9/11 blogger. And again, to refresh your memory, there was an amazing amount of war games and terror drills, although we didn't call them terror drills yet, war games and military exercises going on in the morning of 9/11 that, of course, liars like General Myers, when he was getting grilled by Cynthia McKinney, would say, oh no, I think the drills helped our response, which
at the very least, would make you say, Jesus, what would it have been like if the drills weren't going on? Did the drills prevent Andrews Air Force Base from responding to 9/11? That would be the base that would have been far closer to respond to the D.C. events. However, they were off on military drills. A little flashback for you. Al-Qaeda, which translates to the database, how the Pentagon and CIA made an enemy. And again, Al-Qaeda meant the base. The database. The database of Mujahideen fighters that we had funded back in the late 70s and early 80s, fighting the Ruskies in Afghanistan. But that, you know, that was a long time ago. You know, a lot of those folks aren't around anymore, like Brzezinski and Robert Gates. Oh, shit. That's right. All the same characters are still around. Ain't a damn thing changed. An interesting note from the fine folks at historycommons.org. They also have a blog on hcgroups.wordpress.com. The single database that contains terrorist-related intelligence and law enforcement information in a single repository. This goes to something that was revealed in the fantastic 9/11 Commission report that reveals the existence of a single database that contains terrorist-related intel and law enforcement information. History Commons is now providing that by way of embedded and downloadable PDFs on Scribd. Further down the list from the New York Post, toxic WTC tactic. Again, regardless of what you think about 9/11 truth or the official story of 9/11, lots and lots and lots and lots of people are dead, and even more are dying from the toxic dust at Ground Zero. We don't have any money for them. We need to spend the money to kill more people on the events that we say were caused by 9/11. An interesting side note here from govexec.com. Review finds 9/11/09 Potomac exercise was a bad idea. Remember that terror drill that unfolded across the Potomac while Obama was at Arlington Cemetery on the 8th anniversary of 9/11? It was a quote-unquote bad idea. And that's the most we're probably going to get out of that. There's an interesting three-part video from The Real News, and they do good work. Former FBI agent Colleen Rowley discusses still unanswered questions about the lead-up to 9/11. She supports a new investigation, which, again, we've been denied getting in New York on the ballot this fall. The New York City Coalition for Accountability now shut down. So there's a three-part bit from Real News, 9/11 Redux. However, History Commons does have their own reaction to Colleen Rowley and her interviews on the Real News Network. Where's Tom Wilshire? This unfortunately raises the specter that even folks like Colleen Rowley, who has been a fantastic whistleblower, is she getting to the heart of the matter? And I will leave it for you to do the investigation yourself on Tom Wilshire. The last update here on 9/11 updates, this from just 2 days ago, I believe, or even yesterday morning. Yeah, the 29th, CNN, passport with 9/11 suspect's name found in Pakistan. A passport bearing the name of Saeed Bahaji, B-A-H-A-J-I, a suspect linked to the 9/11 attacks on New York and Washington, has been found in a town captured by the Pakistani military. The passport was found in South Waziristan, where the Pakistani military has been battling to wrest territory from the Taliban in Pakistan. It contained a Pakistani visa issued in August 01, showing that the bearer entered Pakistan on September 4th, 01, and appeared unusually new for a document 8 years old. CNN has not independently confirmed its authenticity. Another interesting case of amazingly fresh and well-preserved passports magically being found in the midst of death and destruction and collapsed everything. quickly now, my friends. We're going to run down the news purge that contains all the latest headlines on history, mystery, media, memes, and murder and mayhem. It's the 10/29 news purge, meaning I posted it up yesterday on October 29th. On the history mystery note, how a girl's stark words got lost in the Polanski spectacle. More from Samantha Geimer, and I believe we'll have another note on her in just a few moments. Again, I'll always remind you to check out my recent interview with Peter LaVenda of Sinister Forces on Polanski, Manson, and Sinister Forces. Interesting cartoon you should check out from 1948, the Cold War era. It's called Make Mine Freedom. However, we did just learn, and I've got it posted up from Al Jazeera, but it made the rounds, Castro's sister spied for the CIA. Big surprise. The lost JFK tapes, the assassination, is going to be on National Geographic in November. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. Lies about Lockerbie, 9/11, and terrorism from existentialist cowboy. And lastly, on the history mystery note, and all this is so, of course, timely, as, of course, I just recently saw a trailer for a movie about 2012 by way of CNN, and I couldn't find any articles on this. It's just a video that they had posted up, and the only other people that had posted it up were all the other numerous truth sites around the world. World's largest pyramid discovered in Lost Mayan City.
Guatemalan archaeologists are making a fascinating discovery. Let's go to CNN's Brooke Baldwin. She traveled to Mirador and came back with an amazing story. Brooke, tell our viewers what's going on.
Wolf, I think I'm officially an archaeology geek. Our CNN crew, we're the first TV camera actually in the world to shoot the face of what may be the world's largest pyramid by volume. This pyramid, it is covered by the canopy of the jungle. It is currently facing several threats. From the air, it looks like just jungle, but these forests in Guatemala hide an ancient secret. The city of Mirador, often referred to as the cradle of Mayan civilization, the size of a modern-day metropolis. This is no mountain. It's a pyramid. And according to the Mirador Basin Project, it may be the largest pyramid by volume in the world. CNN is traveling with the project's director and lead archaeologist, Richard Hansen, and the founder of the Global Heritage Fund, Jeff Morgan.
The Pyramid Levant is a structure the world should know because it represents an investment of labor unprecedented in the world history. Every single stone in that building, from the bottom to the top, was carried by human labor.
And the work to save this pyramid is delicate, done by hand. Guatemalan archaeologists painstakingly help uncover pieces of history built by their ancestors. And a view from the top of La Danta, spectacular.
This is the summit of the Maya world.
Here at the top of La Danta, we are 72 meters, or about 224 feet, from the forest floor. And when we talk about sheer size of this area that is El Mirador, just one single Mayan city, archaeologist Dr. Richard Hansen says its size is larger than all of downtown Los Angeles, and he says there are still thousands of pyramids yet to be uncovered.
So that is quite fascinating, to say the very least. World's largest pyramid discovered in lost Mayan city of Mirador. A quick note on media memes by way of Alex Constantine, which again, I'll remind you to check back several months ago, my interview with Alex Constantine. And the way he puts it, my friends, makes no bones about it. Duping liberals the way Fox dupes moderates, Pacifica's Amy Goodman promotes CIA mind control guy Robert J. Lifton. Now, I did a little bit of looking up Robert J. Lifton, and he essentially seems to be a guy who came from studying the realms of mind control in the Cold War era, which, of course, brings to mind Manchurian Candidate and all of those things. And again, the upcoming film from Martin Scorsese, Shutter Island, which, again, we covered in my brand new interview with film critic and writer Albert Lanier on secret societies, conspiracies, and the media. It's on the top of MediaMonarchy.com right now. And again, I implore you to spread the word. The last list here on Murder and Mayhem. A little bit more on Polanski and Samantha Geimer. Polanski's victim asks court to dismiss charge again. That's by way of the LA Times and more from the Deutsche Press Agency. Polanski rape victim asks court to drop charges. And I've always found it interesting that, you know, if the victim says, can we just call this whole thing off? That shouldn't the case end there? But no, it's far more complicated. And essentially, he ran away from justice. So it's California wanting to get even, even though they can't afford to keep their jails running. They're dumping out tons of people and their budget is way, way, way in the red. However, they can expend tons of money and manpower trying to get one 70-year-old Polanski. Mystery death of Mac Tunney's, 34 years old. More on that from Copycat Effect. U.S. pilots lost their license after being lost on that flight last week that we mentioned in the breaking news segment last week. Those flights that went hundreds of miles off course. Yeah, they were using their laptops. Another video from Raw Replay. Outrage as terrorist game lets players massacre civilians. I believe this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And as if video games that let you kill a bunch of people, or is that still surprising at this point? Detroit mosque leader killed in FBI raids. U.S. synagogue shooting prompts Jewish community alert. That's by way of the Deutsche Press Agency, but more from the LA Times. Suspect still at large, motive unclear in the North Hollywood synagogue shooting. Out of the UK, express.co.uk, charged with murder, the son who stabbed a home invader. So initially, he was praised as a hero for defending his house. However, now he's been charged with murder. So apparently, your home is not your castle anymore, and if someone breaks in, you're not allowed to defend yourself. Again, everything we know from centuries of life in the quote-unquote free world is all kind of being turned on its head. And it gets worse. Two 10-year-old UK boys arrested for alleged rape of an 8-year-old girl. And the last note with a video and a clip of Lou Dobbs talking about this event. Shots were fired at Lou Dobbs' home. This, of course, ties in with his anti-illegal immigration stance. And things just get crazier and crazier. So that's the murder and mayhem and the media memes and the history mystery news purge. Running quickly out of time, and I realize now I'm not going to be able to go over this large list of geopolitics, so that's going to have to wait till B-side episode. But to whet your appetite, that, of course, is the death and destruction of the largest Iraq bombing in 2 years. May have been inside job, and that's from CNN. We also, of course, have the death and destruction swirling around Hillary when she was in Pakistan, as if on cue. Tons of violence erupts. But we don't have time to go there. We're going to close out with Econo Crash and Bank Failures notes. Posted up last Saturday, October 24th, bank failures hit 106 for the year. Many more are weak. It's a big number that only tells part of the story. The number of banks that have failed so far this year topped 100 last Friday, hitting 106 by the end of the day, the most in nearly two decades. But the trouble in the banking system from bad loans and the recession goes even deeper. That article goes on, and again, we are on another FDIC Friday, so will the number go above 106 today? We shall see. The last posting here we're going to blast through. Econo crash, crashes, crime, capitalism, whores, and more. Black Tuesday and a return to big government. Reminding you, we just recently, of course, had the anniversary of the Black Tuesday Wall Street crash. And are we returning to that? From Yahoo Finance, Noriel Rubini says, a big crash is coming, but I don't believe in gold. Unfortunately, I think guys like Rubini are kind of hoodwinking folks who pat themselves on the back and think they know a lot about the economy, but I can't get into that now. Former chairman of Citigroup says that we should restore the Glass-Steagall Act. That was the thing, you know, that outlawed the derivatives. Ex-Sullivan and Cromwell associate, which of course ties in Giuliani and the Dulles brothers and all the New York crime banksters throughout the decades. Ex-Sullivan and Cromwell associate under investigation for insider trading commits suicide. Madoff associate Jeffrey Pickauer found dead in his pool, police say. So again, the banksters and the body counts are piling up at an amazing clip. Not exactly jumping out of windows, but interesting nonetheless. Bernanke's trillion-dollar decision, that's from Politico. An interesting breakdown on the differences and similarities between capitalism, socialism, and fascism. That's from Washington's blog. Exposing lies about the Fed, the CIA, and the murder of JFK. That's more from Existentialist Cowboy. From ADN.com, out of Anchorage, Alaska, an Anchorage bank robber got exactly what he wanted, food and shelter. So he basically pulled off a heist only with the intent of getting a place to stay, three hots and a cot. That's an interesting note, and again, I'll say hello to our new friends at KWMD in Alaska, at oneskyradio.com and 90.7 FM. Thanks so much. There's a video of the FDIC head Sheila Bair telling protesters no more bailouts. Washington's blog calls this an amazing populist move. However, I would find it like Bernanke showing up at in the Fed rally. I wouldn't get too excited about the FDIC head talking about no more bailouts. Capmark files for bankruptcy with $21 billion in debt. That's from Bloomberg. Again, from the Deutsche Press Agency, U.S. newspaper woes continue. Circulation plummets another 10%. Our man Alan Grayson causes another ruckus. This guy's quite interesting, and as I believe Wayne Madsen notes in the new documentary, Fall of the Republic, that a lot of the action that we're seeing from our Congress critters, a lot of the best things are coming from the freshman congressmen, because they know the only reason they're in there is because of the GOP backlash, and they were brought in on the change-a-luya hopenosis. They now realize their constituents aren't going to sit quietly and watch them go along with the program. So fortunately, guys like Alan Grayson are causing a ruckus. I don't care what party he's in. He's calling it like he sees it. And in this case, causing a ruckus by way of the Boston Globe. Alan Ruckus calls a Federal Reserve advisor a, quote, K Street whore. And so one of the last notes here on Econocrash, crime, capitalism, whores, and more. A video swiped by me from WBBM by way of CBS2Chicago.com, posted up to YouTube.com/Media Monarchy. Mayor Jim Daley considering a sale of Chicago's water system.
Good evening, I'm Rob Johnson. It's 10 o'clock. If the parking meter deal put a bad taste in your mouth, try swallowing this. Chicago is considering leasing its water system to help fix the budget. CBS2's Roseanne Tejas is here. Roseanne, that means the new boss could charge you and me whatever they want for water.
Well, Rob, could it happen here in Chicago? It already has nearby. We visited one suburb that relies on Lake Michigan water, but it now comes from a German-owned firm. And those paying the new water bills say there's a lot more than water going down the drain.
It's a vital resource you can't live without. But in Homer Glen, the question is, can you afford water? Residents say rates like these are breaking the bank.
What are you having to streamline to save money?
Oh, we do everything. We've changed out toilets. We have changed shower heads. We've changed faucets. We've changed dishwashers.
Mayor Jim Daley says residents in Homer Glen pay about three times more than those in neighboring communities.
$4.96, $5, $3.44.
And Homer Glen is more than $10.
More than $10.
What's the explanation from Illinois American about these high rates?
They simply say that they have infrastructure improvements they need to make, that they can show their costs, and we're saying that it's absolutely absurd.
But could Chicago be next? This trade publication says the City of Chicago Department of Water Management is said to be considering a lease of its water and wastewater system.
And so it goes on and on. It's a fire sale in America. Everything we have, everything we had, everything we seem to used to be is pretty much for sale. It seems to be for sale on a metaphorical level, where just our ideals and everything we used to stand for, we've now pushed aside and shucked aside, because again, we've been shocked and awed with fear and terror on a multitude of levels, whether it's buildings blowing up or planes crashing or no money in your ATM, and no job. Everything's for sale. And again, we'll note, as we've made a few references in this episode to your carbon indulgences being paid to the Rockefellers and offshore corporations. Gore, of course, being one of the main hatchet men for NAFTA and GATT, which essentially gutted the United States economy. Again, not getting into an illegals debate about Mexico and any of that garbage. What seems to be happening is that they, quote-unquote, are pretty much destroying America's production power. We used to make things. We used to produce things. We used to create things that people wanted, like TVs or shoes or cars or whatever. We don't make any of that stuff anymore. We may assemble it here, or we may create part of the widget that then gets shipped off somewhere else to be put together. But again, essentially, I think what I'm saying is that America is for sale. We're pretty much out of time here. And one thing that I do want to note, so it all kind of works out, even with the on-the-fly program changes here on episode 147 of MediaMonarchy.com, perhaps it's quite appropriate to finish off this October 30th, 2009 Halloween weekend episode with an update on the Econo crash posting by way of the Big Brother Corporation, BBC. Walmart starts selling coffins. And there's a screen grab of the online Walmart store where you can go buy the mom-remembered steel casket for the low, low price of $8.95. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, now plans to hold on to customers even after they die by selling coffins. Prices range from a mom or dad remembered steel coffin for $8.95 to a bronze job for nearly $3,000. The retailer is allowing customers to plan ahead by paying for the caskets over 12 months with no interest. They can be dispatched within 48 hours. Catering for cradle-to-grave needs, which again is the way things are going, that's getting to be a shorter and shorter distance. Catering for cradle-to-grave needs, Walmart already sells everything from babyware to engagement rings. A spokesman for the supermarket giant, Ravi Jarwala, said the new coffin range was a, quote, limited beta test to understand customer response. So it's a trial balloon. They're testing out, seeing if this flies. The retailer's offering caskets at prices that undercut many funeral homes, say correspondents. But an industry spokesman said it was not unduly concerned about Walmart's move because he said the firm cannot offer bereaved families the human touch. Pat Lynch of the National Funeral Home Directors Association told the Associated Press, quote, "There's no question in my mind as a funeral director for nearly 40 years that the most critical element is the human contact." Again, all this stuff, you kind of have to laugh to maybe not cry. And what a fitting way to end this Halloween Devil's Night, October 30th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. Walmart selling coffins. And that's right, kids. You know what time it is now. It's time for your favorite, or at least some of you, your favorite part of the show, that part where I read down a quick list of some of the interesting characters that have visited MediaMonarchy.com in the last week. I keep track of them. It's a lot of the same folks, but it's always interesting nonetheless. DHS.gov out of Springfield, Virginia. Navy Network Information Center out of San Diego. Lockheed Martin out of Orinda, California. The 754th Electronic Systems Group out of Suitland, Maryland. Dugway Proving Ground out of Dugway, Utah. We had Northrop Grumman out of Baltimore. Again, the Navy Network Info Center out of San Diego and then out of Alexandria. Then we had the New York City Transit Authority. We also had the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons out of the Netherlands. We had the U.S. Department of Transportation out of Chesapeake, Virginia, which I've noted before and it's always interesting. Their IP address is uscg.mil. So, Department of Transportation under the Coast Guard military, or at least in the IT sense. Navy Network Information Center out of Honolulu. And the last note from newschannel5.com out of Nashville, Tennessee. Somebody there Googled media monarchy. And you should too, and I thank you. And again, to all the folks that get in touch with me, our new affiliates, our old affiliates, new listeners, old listeners, all of you guys. It's a scary weekend. It's a scary time. But again, we get together, we share the info, we spread the word, and many hands make light work. This has been episode 147 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. It's October 30th, 2009, and I implore you, like my man Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.